Wednesday, 6/11/25. I'm going to speak on grace, part 9.
Keep going.
The title is called Grace and Peace Go Hand in Hand. Throughout the epistles, you'll see them used together consistently. In the Strong's, peace means to join and implies prosperity. A couple of days ago, the Lord gave me this scripture. You know, sometimes you can just get to the point that things are difficult and it's hard maybe sometimes to see what the outcome's going to be. But the Lord spoke this to me. This is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And this spoke a lot to me because I just, you know, you just get to feeling like it just seems like, you know, Paul was talking about when I try to do right over there in Rome, the evil's always with me, you know, it seems like they're just such an assault that when the Lord speaks, he says, I don't have that towards you. These are the thoughts that I think towards you, and that's what we're going to look at. A few scriptures here. Here are his thoughts towards each one of us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So this encourages me. God is for us. His thoughts are towards us. His thoughts were so towards us that he gave his only begotten Son in our behalf. In the garden, man lost his connection with God, and God has thought continually and planned continually all through the old covenant a way to restore and join back with his man. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Salvation. He is called in the old covenant the Prince of Peace. This is Isaiah chapter 9. Prince of Peace. God's not about chaos and confusion and all this stuff. He's about peace. That's why Paul, grace and peace. Peter, grace and peace. You, pretty well all of them, grace and peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking it all the time, grace and peace, grace and peace. Isaiah 9, this is verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the Prince of Peace came. We're going to look at some scriptures today. I have quite a few, and there's a lot of them, just like there is on grace. There's a lot on peace. I want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 16 there. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. I mean in everything. Peace. Always peace. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Well, he's always given us, he's already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How did David kill that giant? Even in the old covenant, we see the grace of God, the peace of God. This is Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What happens when we lose our peace? I guess we get offended. Was that just for David? No, it's for us also, even though it's in the Psalms. We've all had our giants that we've had to slay. We all have our giants that stand before us and taunt us, just like Goliath did to David. Philippians 4. This is a mindset. This peaceful mindset. Starting with 6 there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren. How? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I kind of take the stance that, you know, the Lord speaks to me a lot of things, and a lot of times they're little things. But it seems like the big giant in front of me, he doesn't say much about it. And then, you know what it causes me to think, though? If God cares about the little things, how much more would he speak to me about the bigger things if I needed to hear it? If I needed to hear it. So that's a good thing to remember. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten the situation you're in. He's well aware of it. In fact, I'm sure he's just right there all the time. It has everything to do with your mindset. Peace is to join up with God and implies prosperity. What's the opposite of peace? I put here condemnation, fear, unrest, turmoil. Okay, I'm going to qualify some of those. Romans 8:1. These are scriptures we know. Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's no condemnation. Okay, let's keep going here. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is how you can gauge when the devil comes on the scene. Fear comes with it. So you know who just entered the building. Well, he's come to take your peace because you already have it in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's see. When you sense fear, you know that Satan has come to steal your peace. Peace must make the call, but it's up to you to make that choice. You have to choose. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's an attitude. The stance of peace. This is Ephesians 6, the stance of peace. This warrior in Ephesians. Starting with 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The stance of peace. Keep going here. Romans 1, 7. Now this is the greeting that's in most of the epistles. To all that be in Rome, not to Rome, but other beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you. And peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repeated over and over and over and over and over. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means to render, show, or regard as just or innocent. In other words, justification by faith brings peace. To be spiritually minded, as opposed to being carnal-minded. Now I'm going to go over to Romans 8. We read one scripture out of there, but this scripture really says it all, or this passage. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Seems like the hardest thing in the world for people to accept the fact that God already said, your sins have been forgiven. I hold nothing against you. Because the first rattle out of the box when old Slewfoot shows up, what am I doing wrong? Where have I missed it? He's already said forgiven. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why when you're feeling down and God speaks to you, it lifts you up. Peace comes. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, in Jesus, it's already yes. It's always a yes. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're accepted in the Beloved. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. How do we suffer? By putting off the flesh. And submitting to Him, letting Him do His work in us. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We get sometimes discouraged and we forget that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. See, our spirits are born again, but we still have to deal with this soul body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit, this is our help, the helper. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He's always got our best interest at heart. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. He didn't condemn us. He never condemns us. Never. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If we put it in the proper perspective and we see it the way God sees it and how much He is for us, then whatever the devil has to say, it's a moot point. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ain't gonna happen. Justified means to render, to show as or regard as just or innocent. Romans 14:17, just one scripture. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 16. I'm gonna look at seven, starting with 17 there. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not your Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I believe the peace will return the body of Christ to repentance from dead works. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I don't think the church fully realizes how much of what goes on in the church world. Is a lot of it's just works. Right here it says, leaving, verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. We need to move on. We need to move on from the dead works. Okay, a few more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Something come against you and you get confused, it's not God. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. We can't let Satan come steal our peace. We can't. Ephesians chapter 2. 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity between even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All right, Colossians chapter 1. Starting with 9 here. This is one of the prayers. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that He should, that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. God did a great work. The devil can't just come in and undermine it. He's not greater than God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at 18 there. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Okay, I've got one more. This is Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So grace and peace go hand in hand.